Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 151 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers here, as always, with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah. How's things going?
Good. Megan, you are in between homes, old home and new home.
Yes. So it sounds a little different here because I am actually in my old house. Here comes my cat because she's like, where have you guys been for 2 days? Well, the answer is this one might be a little more casual than usual. We moved into the new house 2 days ago.
Yay.
But
exciting.
Haven't moved over. So we moved over one pet. We're waiting on the cat until we can get more fully settled. And she's not happy about it. Her attachment disorder is kicking in big time. But also, the internet didn't get hooked up on time in the new house.
Of course.
So I had to come back to the old house, which now has like almost no furniture in it, to record. And so it sounds a little echoey and hollow. So I apologize for that. And I apologize for my needy kitty.
That's okay. We'll roll with it. So what are we talking about today? So here's, I'm going to set this up by saying, you guys have been requesting that we get back to talking about all things feeding a family. So meal planning, meals. And, you know, I feel like, Megan, we used to talk about this a little bit more in the first year or so of the podcast. And I have a theory why we have kind of avoided it in the last year or so.
Okay.
Because I feel like we might both be falling down on the job a little bit when it comes to the,
you think?
The meal planning and like, I don't know, all these.
It has not been a great focus for me. I've been really good at pulling off like one fantastic meal a week. And then just utter baloney, including sometimes literally baloney the rest of the week. So.
Well, and I think our listeners like when we keep it real. And another reason, honestly, is we have a lot of listeners, not all of you guys, but we know a lot of you guys have babies and toddlers and really little kids. And I have to say that a lot changes when you think about feeding a family in those little years to where I am and where you are. So I think we've both just kind of not avoided it, but like haven't dealt with it. But we've had a lot of requests. So here's what we're going to do today. Today, we're going to talk about feeding a family when it comes to breakfast and lunch. And I thought that might be kind of fun and a little bit less fraught with like all of this dinner expectations and like,
well,
I don't
and
know.
We've talked about before how we put so much emphasis on dinner as like the one savior, you know, like the one meal where your kid will get all of the nutrients. And we do tend to kind of gloss over breakfast and lunch, but they exist and they're important. So,
and everybody has them. And we're going to talk about ourselves too, what we eat. So today is going to be the first in what I'm calling a loose series on feeding a family. And that means it might not all happen right in the next few weeks in a row, but we promise to bring you guys a few more episodes on feeding a family. We're going to start with breakfast and lunch. We'll do an episode about dinner, even if it's just us admitting that we're like really phoning it in right now. And then we'll do some other fun stuff like grocery shopping and meal planning. And
we should talk about snacks this summer.
Yeah. Actually, two other podcasts in our network have talked about snacks recently. And it's such a great topic. I feel like I could listen to podcasts about what people eat for snacks all day. So, and also before we get going, I want to tell you guys that Katie's with me at the end of the show. She and I have a really fun segment, and she also is going to set up a giveaway that we're doing on Instagram from a great mom-owned business that makes really sweet, soft hooded towels and blankets called Lil B. And the giveaway is happening on Instagram, but you'll hear Katie and I talk about it at the end of the show. So go listen to that or stay on and listen to that, and then go check out our Instagram to see the giveaway.
Cool.
Okay, so we're talking about feeding a family, breakfast and lunch. But first, we're going to talk about our first sponsor, and that is Health IQ. So you know how if you are a good driver with a good record, you can save money on your car insurance, Megan?
Yes, I do know that. I am aware.
So I did not know that the same works for life insurance if you are a healthy person with a healthy lifestyle. So
that is awesome.
Super awesome. So Health IQ works to save you money on life insurance if you are a person with a healthy lifestyle. And that can be anyone from vegetarians to marathon runners to they have all these different quizzes on their site that helps you know if you qualify, and then they do the work to see if they can save you money up to 33% in some cases. So
not a small amount.
And they do this because they have all the data and all the math on how long people are living and how various healthy lifestyles can really help you live longer and put you at such a lower risk for some of the major things like heart disease and diabetes and all that. So they crunch all the numbers and see if they can save you money, which is really cool. They also don't just generate leads and forward you on to an insurer. They actually are sort of your partner through the whole process, which is great because it's a little bit overwhelming, I think, these types of things.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. So if you guys want to see if you qualify, the first step is to take one of their fun quizzes about healthy lifestyles. And those are at healthiq.com/TMH. TMH as in the mom hour. And that will help you see if you qualify and then you can get a free quote. So it's healthiq.com/TMH. All right.
Okay. We ready to do this?
We are. We're going to talk about breakfast.
Oh, okay. I'm getting like anxious now because I'm going to have to talk about what I eat and what I feed my people. But okay, let's do this.
No, it's all, we're just being really real. We're being really real. And if anybody's new out there, our kids are, mine are 5 to 10 age range and yours are 9 to adult. We don't currently have babies and toddlers, but I did kind of throw some bullet points in here so we can, if we do remember, you know, what we kind of fed them or what were our go-tos at that ages, we'll talk about that too. So I thought we could talk first about what is happening lately for breakfast in our house, both kids and grownups, and also weekends. I threw weekends in there as its own special thing. So what are kids and grownups eating in your house for breakfast lately?
This is terrible. I have no idea. I don't know because we all get up at different times. Clara still eats toast every morning. I do know that because she and I get up together. Well, I'm up before her, but then, you know, she and I are actually occupying house space at the same time.
What does she have on her toast?
Totally depends on the day. Okay. She loves, her preference is Nutella or cinnamon sugar. I understand why those are her preference, but sometimes I have to put my foot down and be like, you got to have peanut butter today or something. Yeah. Like you've had sugar toast now 3 days in a row. She's like, no, it's cinnamon sugar. No, it's sugar. So there is a little bit of cinnamon in there, but come on. So Clara still has tea and toast with me in the morning. I no longer eat toast for breakfast.
Right. You are
very rarely.
Keto. You are no carb.
I would say no, I'm nowhere near keto and I'm nowhere near no carb. I'm low-ish carb. I'm lazy, low carb.
Lazy keto.
But I don't start the day with toast because that just starts me on this sort of downhill spiral.
Yeah.
So it's not to say I wouldn't have a piece of bread at some point during the day. I do a lot actually, but like I wouldn't start my day with that. Yeah. In fact, lately I haven't really been eating breakfast. I've just been having like I'll have a cup of tea with half and half because I've found that once I start eating, I don't want to stop. Mm-hmm. And also I'm so busy in the morning. Even if I'm at home, I'm usually doing the radio show from home and I literally don't have time.
Yeah.
To put food in my face. My one exception is bacon. I will have bacon for breakfast. Literally
just bacon.
How do
you cook bacon? Because I feel like I am a fairly accomplished, like I can cook most things.
Yeah.
But I don't have a quick and easy way for bacon.
It's not quick and easy.
Okay.
That is, and I've tried buying.
It's smelly and messy and overwhelming for me.
So I make bacon. I have this cast iron grill pan.
Yeah.
Like it's like a griddle pan, but you know, it's got the grill marks on it.
Yeah.
With lots of trial and error, that is what I've settled on for making bacon in the oven, and it's fantastic.
Oh, now,
in the oven.
I've tried microwave, stovetop, and oven. I've done them all.
I've had the best luck in the past with either super slow on the stovetop, like just in a frying pan, but like really slow, or in the oven at a pretty high heat, like 400 on a cookie sheet. But even with in the oven, I like it because it doesn't splash everywhere and you get more crispiness.
Yeah.
But you really have to watch it really carefully
In the
oven.
Morning.
Yeah. And sometimes it's inconsistent, like the edges are done differently. So I got this cast iron griddle pan and it is amazing. The bacon that comes off of it is absolutely perfect.
Wow. Can we link that up in the
perfect.
Show notes?
Is it we will do that.
Yeah.
It is La Croisette is the one I got.
Yeah.
I got it for free. I didn't spend that kind of money, but it's worth it if you love bacon.
We have a couple of those that have been like major Christmas presents. Like it's not our entire pots and pans, but it's like a grown up thing to have.
It is. And I will say, well, I could talk about making bacon on my griddle pan all day, but what's cool about it too, it's like it's because it's a grill pan, the grease drips down into the grooves, right? So you still have to kind of pat it with a towel, but not as much. And then I have this amazing grill pan that's just full of bacon grease, which I then use on everything else.
Nice.
So if I need bacon grease, I don't really use that pan for much else. But sometimes for dinner that night, I will just throw vegetables right on top of the bacon grease and just let it soak it up. And it's pretty amazing. So I eat a lot of bacon. Owen is so yogurt obsessed that he actually told someone that's what he's been doing for fun lately. He's like, I've been eating a lot of yogurt.
As a hobby. Yogurt and yo-yo. It's like there's
exactly it goes together. Is yo-yo yogurt.
Do you have a go-to kind of yogurt that you buy for your kids, or is it whatever's on sale?
Yeah, whatever's on sale generally. Like I like to get the natural stuff, but they really like the sugary fruit on the bottom stuff.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I loved the fruit on the bottom, but I never mixed all the fruit in. I would always only mix in like the top, like little bit of layer because I thought it was too sweet. But they've got like the Siggy's brand. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like just the big thing of Stonyfield vanilla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I think about it, I'll buy those for the kids, but they like the little cups.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Yep.
Let's see. I think Isaac drinks tea for breakfast. I don't know that he eats anything. Sometimes I'll see him, slapping together some toast on his way out, but he kind of does his own thing.
Yep. And he's 18 for those who
he's
don't
18.
Know.
Yeah.
He's not like a fourth grader.
Right. No, he's kind of managing his own mornings. And William sometimes will drink like a protein shake. He's weightlifting now.
Oh.
So he'll drink like a meal replacement or a protein shake, or sometimes I hear doggy ears.
Yep. We got dogs and cats today, friends.
Yeah. Sometimes he'll like grab something like a piece of toast on his way out the door. But we're just right now during the week, none of us are huge breakfast people.
Yeah.
It's just the reality
it's
of
just
our
the
lives.
Reality.
At the
there's yep. zero. This is like not there's no right answer in this.
And podcast. Clara gets a snack. She's not a huge eater anyway. And she gets a snack like an hour after she gets to school.
Yeah.
So even if she leaves the house a little bit hungry because she didn't finish her toast, it's not a big deal. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. So,
okay.
That's
so,
us.
Yeah. So we are kids in my house are kind of cereal and milk. Like I gave up a long time ago. Actually, I never really subscribed to the idea that kids need a hot breakfast or a protein breakfast.
Yeah.
I know that breaks all the dietary rules, but like we've said a million times, I just look at nutrition as like the whole picture and mornings are crazy. So, boxed cereal is one of probably the ways that I am a little more relaxed about sugar and stuff. They're not eating Fruit Loops or Cocoa Puffs, but the cereals I buy are not like the
super duper
top
healthy.
Most healthy. They love Honey Bunches of Oats, and I love
I was going to say Honey Bunches of Oats.
I loved Honey Bunches of Oats when I was a kid, and so I just it's like I don't buy a lot of I buy almost nothing with like preservatives or packaging,
right.
But my breakfast cereal like it just is what it is. So. My kids call
don't you feel like Honey Bunches of Oats is kind of like middling sugar though? It's not real.
I think it's middling sugar. What it doesn't have is a lot of like whole grains or fiber.
Yeah,
so it's
more
that like, it just doesn't, it's not the ideal breakfast, but I have zero guilt about it. So my kids call them Big Crunchies because, like the Honey Bunches of Oats are like these big crunchies.
Yes.
They've called them that since they were little.
And so my family has a fun nickname for Honey Bunches of Oats too. This is so funny.
That is so
funny. Our kids have always called them Honey a Boach. And I think it's because when Jacob was little, he couldn't say it.
Yeah.
And so Honey a Boach just stuck in our heads. So that's what
that
we've always called it.
That is the cutest. So we call them Big Crunchies. And Reed, who's like my most, like when he gets into it, something he like does not vary from his routine. And then it'll change. It'll be something else. But so he will have Big Crunchies. Violet will have Big Crunchies. Allegra likes oatmeal. And I will just do oatmeal. I buy just regular old fashioned oats. I don't do really like fancy oatmeal, but I make it in the microwave with milk. So like a couple minutes, stir it, and then maybe 30 more seconds. That works well for Allegra. She's real slow to get ready in the morning. I think I've talked about how she has a rule where she has to be all the way ready before she eats breakfast because otherwise she'll never get ready. She has to have shoes on, hair done, everything except brushing teeth. So she'll do oatmeal. And so they kind of, and then I do buy Trader Joe's frozen waffles, like the whole grain ones, and they like those. They'll go through a phase of that, but like, really they don't do yogurt. I don't give them fresh fruit. Like they're pretty much carbs and sugar is what my kids eat for breakfast. It's fine. It just is what it is. When we get into lunch, I'll talk about how my kids are actually those kids who eat their lunch at school. I know a lot of kids don't, but my kids do. So I load up the lunch with some better things, but breakfast, it just is. Brian cooks breakfast for both of us. So and almost always I eat what he makes because he is a good cook and he works out in the morning and has more priorities in terms of like nutrition. And my priority is just to eat. So we will either have eggs or a smoothie, depending on if he's like in a high protein mood or like a fruits and veggies mood. And I fought his smoothies or I resisted them for a long time because they have kale and chia seeds and all this stuff in them.
Yeah.
But I actually kind of like them now. And it does feel really good. It feels good to just know that I did that first thing in the morning for my own, like fruits and veggies and all that. And then I actually prefer the smoothies to eggs, but he'll actually like whip up a frittata. I think I've said that on this show. Like he'll make a frittata on a random Tuesday morning and it like looks like something out of a restaurant. So I'm I'm pretty lucky. I get my breakfast.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome. Can I tell you though, my resistance to smoothies is not what's in them. Uh-huh. I don't like, first of all, I don't love cold drinks in general. Okay. I like drinks warm or room temperature, generally speaking. And I really don't like cold drinks first thing in the morning.
Okay.
So that's been a huge,
well, and you live in a colder area. I can relate to that. If I'm feeling cold, I definitely don't want to drink something cold.
Right.
Also, I have a thing with smoothies where I have to drink them with a straw. And the straw thing has actually, I know, because it's like they're pretty thick and like you get like a smoothie mustache and for some reason it grosses me out. Like when we go to my parents' house, my mom makes good smoothies, but I won't drink them because they don't have straws. So we were going through a lot of plastic straws and I was having a little bit of like California environment guilt.
Yeah.
And so I got these stainless steel straws and some pipe cleaner brushes that really get in there. And it's actually great. I really like it as a way. I can link to those too.
Yeah, do that. I was just thinking about cereal because we talked about that a little bit. I want to be clear that I do have cereal in the house and oatmeal. My kids all go through phases where they want certain things and then they switch.
Yes.
So that's part of the reason with like, it's hard when they get older to nail down, like, what is everyone eating for breakfast? Because not only do I not know, but it sometimes changes week to week.
And you can't remember when you have multiple kids.
No, and you can't remember.
I can remember so many things about my kids, but I cannot for the life of me remember which one likes salami and which one doesn't or whatever.
Well, you know how I know kids, someone in my house is in an oatmeal phase is I find bowls of like cement oatmeal
that is the worst.
In the sink, but I don't know who did it and I don't know when they did it. All I know is someone done it, you know? So yeah, that is annoying. But with cereal, we still buy plenty of cereal, but my kids are just as likely to eat that at night for a snack. Or that is like a weekend gorge. Like that's the kind of thing my kids will go through, like a whole box of something on the weekend. So,
I ate so much cereal when I was
growing up.
Me too. Like growing up, like all the way through, I don't know, like till I was like 25. I love cereal and milk. I don't have it that much anymore, but I love it. And it's like a happy thing. It's like a happy thing.
I lost my taste for it in my 20s. Like I'll still have some, but I don't eat it the way I used to. I used to eat so much cereal. And then I read there was a study that the more cereal you eat, the more likely you are to have boy children, male children. It's something to do. Like literally you attract different sperm when your body's pH is different. And something about cereal.
Like maybe like one of the things that's added. You know, like how cereal. They add.
Yeah. Like folic acid or something.
Yeah, they add some of the quote unquote good whatever they add. Vitamins
so there's
and minerals.
Something about, you know, prepared breakfast cereal that is supposedly is more likely to make you have a boy rather than a girl. And I will say I stopped eating cereal with a vengeance probably around the age of 29. I just lost my taste for it. I didn't like as sugary of things anymore. And then when I started to lose interest in sweet, then I started to kind of lose interest in cereal. And that's when I got pregnant with a girl.
After four boys.
I mean, there's proof
there. This scientific study of one is pretty compelling. I had never
pretty anecdotally interesting, I guess. Yeah. So.
Okay. So that was fascinating. Do you remember any breakfast, not hacks, but just do you remember what breakfast was like when your kids were really little? I'll try and think if I do too, if nothing comes to mind. I want to say that we also did oatmeal, that my kids liked oatmeal when they were really little. And then maybe I would stir some frozen blueberries in that, like when I was even still food spoon feeding them. I think they just had whatever we were having.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I don't remember there being a ton of hacks because I think more so than now, especially except on the weekends. I will say the weekends we tend to have like a big, you know, I'll make like eggs and bacon and all the fixings. But, prior to that, when they were little was the time we all shared meals the most. And so we all just like you'd maybe pick off little bits of whatever and give it the pancakes and give it to the baby or like, you know, you'd have to make sure that the fruit was cut up enough for them. But I don't remember there being like a big emphasis on having a separate breakfast for little ones.
No, me neither. And I don't think I was ever that, you know, worried about like getting protein or getting fruits and veggies. Like, I think I've always just been, I until recently, now I do have smoothies or eggs, but until the last 5 years, I want carbs when I wake up in the morning and so do my kids. And I just haven't worried too much about it. That's my story.
Yeah. Well, I want carbs when I wake up in the morning, but I just realize if I eat them, then I eat carbs all day. So that's why
true.
I'm avoiding it. Yeah.
And so. If I have any other tips, I would say that as my kids have gotten older, and I know you'd say the same thing, you realize that, like, there's a lot that's inborn about morning and breakfast personalities. Like, I have kids who are hungry first thing, and I was always that person too. I was a morning eater, and then you have kids who aren't morning eaters. I also have a kid who does like to eat in the morning but doesn't really like traditional breakfast food, and she will take out leftover macaroni and cheese, or like want sliced up cucumbers and a hard boiled egg, like a Japanese right. breakfast. So I feel like there's nothing wrong with any of that. And actually, breakfast is a time where I feel like it's kind of normal for everyone to kind of go their own route. It's not, you don't have the expectations of like, we all have to eat the same thing. Like, you know, some families do at dinner. So I don't know.
Or even amounts, you know, some of my kids ate nothing for breakfast ever. And then they'd want like a snack mid morning. That was their breakfast. And I'd get annoyed, like, didn't I have breakfast out for you? Yeah. But thinking back to when I was little, I was never a huge breakfast eater if it was super early. I really wanted to wait, which didn't work at all for school.
Right.
But yeah, like everyone's different and everyone's eating patterns are different. And
we are coming off like the world's okayest moms in this episode.
Okayest? I think that is a stretch. I think we're coming off as the world's like, meh.
Well, you guys who begged us to talk about food, feeding a
They're
family,
gonna be
meal
very
planning,
disappointed.
You're like, I could actually maybe like look up a expert book on this topic because Megan and Sarah are just, anyway. Okay, so I think we're probably good on breakfast. Let's take a quick sponsor break and then we'll talk a little bit about lunch.
Yeah, so welcome to our sponsor, Care.com. Care.com is the world's largest digital marketplace for finding and managing family care. I love Care.com because you can go in and find care for everybody in your family. That includes little kids. You can get babysitters or nannies. You can find housekeepers, dog walkers. They have senior care, tutors, like anything you could be looking for, whether it's full-time, part-time. You can find it there and you can actually book and pay for it all in one place. You can also have access to a variety of background check options just in case.
Awesome. Yep.
Yeah, that is. And it's nice, especially like I've talked before about how living in a small town kind of makes it hard sometimes to, you know, find care to begin with. And people are very like, I don't know, closed, kind of greedy when they find a good sitter nobody wants to share.
Proprietary.
Yeah. So I've had a lot of luck, even in my little area, finding great quality caregivers. And then if I want to, I can also go through with a background check and all that kind of thing. So it's been great.
Yeah, that is so great. Especially you living in a small town. I'm super impressed that it worked that well. So the way it works, a basic membership is free, but we have got a promo going to save you 30% off a care.com premium membership. And that's at care.com/momhour. So you will save 30% when you subscribe at that URL. Again, it's care.com/momhour.
Do it. You need help. So get some now.
Yep.
You need help. You need help with breakfast, apparently, just like us.
And lunch. Actually, you did have a care.com caregiver who helped you with breakfast.
Oh my gosh, you're so right. I totally have to mention that. So yes, like last year when I started doing the radio, I just knew I could not handle getting my kids breakfast and like getting them out the door in the morning. So I had a sitter who came just to like feed my kids breakfast and make sure they tied their shoes and like put their homework in their backpack. That was basically her whole job because they were old enough. They could have done it themselves or I could have figured out a way to get them to school. But
that was key. Care.com.
Then this year she got a different job. So this year I just stopped feeding them.
Yeah, this year.
Maybe I should go back to care.com and find a new breakfast maker. That's probably a good idea.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Yeah. Okay, we're going to lunch and we're going to talk about how lunch works now in our houses for kids, grown-ups, weekends, or, you know, vacations when everybody was home. Do you want me to start? I feel like I put you on the hot seat.
Well, it's either way. It's fine. Yeah. I just have to say, like, nobody does lunch in my house right now.
Right. But I still would love to know what they're taking or are they buying? Like, how does lunch work?
Yeah. Yep. So, okay, I'll go first then.
Okay.
Because I think I'm not going to have a whole lot to say, but I'll see. So in theory, all of my school-aged kids pack a lunch. That's the theory, right? So here's what I suspect is actually happening. I'm buying all these lunch supplies and I think they're all eating them when I'm not looking. And then I think they're like bringing a sandwich to school and pretending like they're making full lunches. That's just my theory.
So they're supposed to make their own, even Clara and Owen?
Clara does not. I make Clara's.
Okay, got it.
Owen makes his own. William makes his own. I just find that by the time like Tuesday rolls around, the whole filler box, I don't know if you have one of these, but like we have a box of lunch fillers.
Yep.
It's just, I don't know, suspiciously low. And nobody complains or says anything, which indicates to me that they know why it's low. It's because right. they're eating it ahead of time. So I do every now and then get a panicked call. Like, can you put money on my lunch account? Which I purposely keep really low. Like, I'll keep a couple bucks on there so they can get milk, or if they have an emergency, they can have lunch. But I purposely don't keep money in there because I found that then they, especially the kids who are in middle school and above, they can just have a la carte.
Yeah.
So they can just get whatever they want.
Right.
Clara's lunch is so teeny, and I feel guilty because I feel it's like often like a cheese stick and an apple, or a cheese stick and crackers, or a granola bar and a cheese stick. Like, you're seeing the pattern here. It's like two items, but that's because consistently, if I give her more than two things, she brings half of it home.
I think that's a common story.
Yeah. And I've asked her, am I giving you enough food? But she's getting a milk. So she gets milk and, you know, kind of a big, heavy snack. And I just think she's not a huge eater. I think she's gabbing with her friends.
Yeah.
And so she comes home really hungry and then pigs out, which is fine.
It's fine with me, too. Yeah. We do big after school snacks. And we should like do one of these episodes about snacks and sweets or something, because after school snacks is like its own segment for sure.
Yes, yes, yes. So I'll talk about myself a little bit, I guess. So myself for lunch right now, because I am trying this like lazy keto thing, it's often one of the higher protein kind bars. Some of them, like the higher protein, lower carb ones, none of them are truly low carb, but some are like make a really decent lunch if the alternative is like going out for a sandwich.
Yeah.
I eat a lot of almonds. I eat peanut butter by the spoonful.
Nice.
And I eat a lot of Cobb salads. There's a place down the road from my work, and if I'm really starving, I will pay the 10 bucks or whatever.
I think we've talked about this, how we both, it is like the perfect meal.
It is. It actually is. Actually, I think I might have one today. I really want one now.
I love a Cobb salad. Yeah. Okay. So in my house for kids, all three of my kids get a packed lunch. Violet only goes to preschool 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Tuesday, Thursday, she's home with me, but I almost always pack her a lunch anyway those days because I'm doing it anyway. And that way, no matter where we are, we might go to the gym and she'd go to the childcare there. Or even if we're home, the lunch is packed. So pretty much 5 days a week, even though she's home a couple days. Like lining the lunch. I actually took a picture this morning because I knew we were talking about this. So I'll post a picture of three little lunch boxes lined up and what's in them. And my, like, the go-to main dish or main, I guess, in my kids' lunch is they really like deli meat rolled up in a tortilla with nothing else. They're not like, so it's not like a roll that you or I would like where it's like cucumbers and, you know, like a mayo and a meat, and it's like super boring. And Reed likes ham and the girls both like turkey. And so it is just lunch meat rolled up real tight, like really. So it's like a tight little tube of lunch meat and tortilla. And I cut it in half and they just call it a roll up, like a ham roll up or a turkey roll up.
Yeah, that's what my kids make cheese roll ups and peanut butter roll ups and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
So that works. And then they might choose like our little snack basket would have like I get the Z bars, like the Cliff Kids Z bars. I get, Violet still likes the applesauce, like fruit squeezers, the little pouches, and Reed will sometimes go for those too. I get them at Trader Joe's. Our school is no nuts, which does make it hard because my kids love, a couple of them love peanut butter. Violet really likes almonds, and that's healthy stuff, and I can't send it to school. So that has to wait till after school. Fruit is really hard in the packed lunch. My kids are good fruit eaters, but even my best fruit eaters get really weird about like the sliminess or the turning brown. There's like no perfect fruit. Grapes would probably be a good one that almost all of them would eat in a lunch, but I often do sliced up apples. And I'm just trying to think through the other little bento box containers. Oh, you know what's a good go-to for my kids is dried cranberries or dried blueberries or raisins. I know those do pack some sugar. I know it's not a sugar-free food, but I don't really buy fruit snacks except for airplanes and special occasions. Right. So if it's the cheap version of fruit snacks and I'm not comparing it to like a whole fresh fruit, I think that's decent. They all really like those for their morning snack recess. And I can buy them in bulk and it's not so much packaged stuff. I feel like it's really cost effective. For the most part, Allegra likes these dried blueberries that are kind of expensive.
Yeah, no, those really can be. And sometimes I get raisins and cranberries. My kids like those. And I just feel like they're kind of an alternative to like a fruit snack or something. You know, I'm not making a meal out of it.
Exactly. I'm not kidding myself that it's the perfect superfood. Yeah,
but those are good for mixing into like a existing granola or into yogurt or something like that, or just, you know, having as a little snack on the side. So yeah. I'm cool with that.
I'm glad you brought up yogurt, because my kids don't usually eat yogurt in the morning, but they do. I send an ice pack, and most of the year it stays cool enough that I feel fine sending a yogurt. And Trader Joe's, which I know you don't have, but Trader Joe's has, my kids call them the tiny yogurts, and they're like, they really are little, and they come
in the itty bitty ones. Yeah.
And they're, I think they're still like whole milk. I mean, they're really, they're pretty, like, from a dairy perspective, they're higher fat, but that's, for me, that's fine for my kids. But, and they do really like those, and they fit in a lunch in a way that bigger yogurts don't. And also, it's just not so much, so I know it won't go to waste. And so, they have all different flavors. And so,
how do you feel about yogurt in a tube?
So I don't know. I feel like it's kind of weird. We freeze them. So there's one kind that I will get at Costco sometimes that's a little bit lower sugar and a little healthier.
Yeah, they have actually gotten really good with making, like, I mean, I think even Horizon makes
them
now. I think
it's Stonyfield. I think it's one of the good. Yeah. So I think it's Stonyfield that will be at Costco sometimes. And my kids like them frozen. And so then it's like, you can freeze them and just eat them like a frozen popsicle, or you can freeze them, put them in a lunch, and then they're at least still cold, and they kind of keep the rest of the lunch cold. So yeah, I'm fine with it.
I have to share my weird little hang up about these. Now, first of all, let's just be frank and transparent about the fact that all of these things are creating so much packaging. And I hate that. I hate that. Like, I wish I didn't rely on some of these things. But the reality of my life is, right now, sometimes I do. But I have this visceral reaction, because when I was a kid, eating anything in a tube would, like, tear up the sides of my mouth.
Oh,
like the corners of my mouth.
I can see that.
And I know, like, remember those Freezy Pops? Those had a particularly stiff little edge. And sometimes I had actual cuts, like, in the summer from eating those things. So now when I look at my kids eating, like,
it gives you, like, the heebie-jeebies.
Like a yogurt tube, it just gives me the heebie-jeebies. So I have a bias against them for that reason. Even though those ones are soft and I don't think they do the same thing.
Right.
I can't help
myself. Feel like there's a little bit, we're getting on a major tangent here, but there's a little bit of false marketing in that they're often marketed toward really little kids as a convenient
vehicle. Kids can't.
But can you imagine handing, like, a 3-year-old or a 2.5-year-old a yogurt tube? That's why freezing them does help a little bit.
Yeah.
But, like, you squeeze once and it's, like, everywhere. The pouches, at least, they know how to suck on the end, but I feel like it's a disaster.
Nobody knows, and even adults aren't good at tearing those straight across. Like, half the time you tear it down, and then you've got like this gaping hole on the side.
And yet they're always, you know, like, it's meant to be this really great convenient food for really young kids. So I don't know how you guys listeners feel about yogurt tubes. I really
have some thoughts.
I only buy them sporadically because it is this one brand at Costco that ends up being fairly healthy and fairly cost effective. Otherwise, so my kids, it's kind of like a treat for them. So I guess I should talk about, well, I'll post a picture of my kids' lunches in the show notes, because I know people kind of like to, it's like a geek out over that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But for lunch for myself, when I'm home, well, whether I'm home with Violet or home on my own, I've really come to rely on Trader Joe's salads. And I used to have a real thing against buying pre-made salads, because I felt like it was a waste of money and I could do this myself. And it was like some kind of cop out, especially because I was a stay-at-home mom or working from home. Like, I don't need convenience packaged salads. Also, packaged salads in bags and stuff used to be real gross. Like, the lettuce was gross. So I think it's a matter of the salads have gotten better. Trader Joe's makes them very cost effective. Most of the ones I buy are like $3 or $4. They're not like $6.99 or anything. And I just decided that it's worth my time and money. And they have really good ones. They have a barbecue chicken one that I like. I totally change it up because I get bored. And Trader Joe's also has some burritos in the refrigerated section that I will warm up. And those are good. So I'm kind of on the, I would say, relatively healthy, but still packaged convenience food lunch. Like, I'm not making like a Stouffer's, but I'm doing the Trader Joe's version of that, kind of.
Yeah, I'm such a lazy lunch person. Like, for me, I'm kind of in general, like, unless I'm cooking for a family or for a group, I think I've said this on the show before, like, I am perfectly happy eating the same thing all day long. I really don't care.
Yeah.
So I could see myself having the exact same thing for lunch for like the rest of my life and not caring if there's not another option in front of me. Yeah. Now, if there's another option in front of me, if I'm going to a restaurant or something, then I want to like live it up. But if I'm in my house, it's really like, I'm hungry. What's in front of me? Sometimes it's an avocado.
That's yummy. Yeah.
I just squeeze some lime juice on it and salt, and that's my lunch. Or sometimes it's like, if I'm in a sandwichy kind of place, I'll have a sandwich. Or sometimes it's just whatever I have to eat to continue with my day. But I'm just really like, I don't like to stop what I'm doing to
I know.
To make myself food.
I'm the same way. And the other weird thing about me is, and I probably said it on the show before, but I really front load my calories in the day. You guys know I'm a morning person. My energy's higher in the day, but I also eat more. And I really almost eat like three meals before like 2 o'clock because I eat a relatively light breakfast and it's early. And so then I'm hungry again at like 10. And if I'm at home, I might have my Trader Joe's salad at 10 o'clock because it's like my lunch and I don't care. I don't stand on ceremony about what time. But then if I eat at 10:30, I'm going to be hungry again at like 1, which is like a little before I go get the kids from school. And then I might have a little something else then. I also like leftovers for lunch. So if we've been on our dinner game and there are leftovers, I do like that. But then I don't eat very much from like 3 o'clock on. I'm really not a big dinner eater. And I think that probably also is connected to my low energy later in the day. So I'm not saying this is a good thing, but
I'm more of a lunch or dinner eater. So if I have a big lunch, I won't necessarily eat a big dinner, but I will always eat one or the other. I will always have either a bigger lunch or a bigger dinner as opposed to breakfast. Just the way my energy works.
Do you remember anything about lunches when your kids were tiny? I just remember cutting crusts off a lot of sandwiches.
I remember using fancy, like those things that you like cut the sandwich out, like a little thing that, I'm not saying this right.
Yeah.
Instead
like
of using a knife.
Cutter?
Yeah, like a cookie cutter to cut the sandwich up. I think mine cut it into, I had one that did circles and one that did triangles. I remember making a lot of little smorgasbords the way you've talked about smorgasbord dinner. I remember doing like that on a minor, like a small scale, like cheese cubes and crackers and nuts or something like that. But otherwise, no, I think it was kind of the way, I don't know, I do breakfast, like kind of like whatever.
No, I agree. I remember lunches being really messy. I get a yogurt coming back to the yogurt. I feel like my kids were always yogurt eaters, but less at breakfast and more at lunch. Mm. So I feel like I have a lot of mental pictures of just really messy kids and I just wipe them down and put them down for a nap. I didn't really get into lunch meat for my kids until they were a little bit older. I think all the like nitrates and nitrites and all that, like I was trying to avoid, but now I get some pretty natural lunch meats that are pretty preservative free now. But, so I kind of wish I had figured that out earlier because I feel like that would have been another protein option and my kids all really like deli meat. So
mine do too. Did I ever tell you the story about Jacob sitting out? He was like 2 years old and he was obsessed with, I don't remember what it might've been, hot dogs. It was something I didn't want him to have a lot of.
Yeah.
And he's sitting outside the fridge in his diaper going, meat, more meat. Cause I wouldn't let him have any more meat.
Isn't that sad? I do think, I mean, everybody has their different things when it comes to like what you do and don't want to feed your kids. So it depends on the person, but I do think there are a lot, it's getting more affordable to avoid certain things that are quote unquote bad, including the preservatives in meat and like, you know, if you want to do organic, like all of that, I have noticed just the prices are coming down and the availability is greater over the last 5 to 10 years. So I think that's a good thing. And hot dogs cut up again. I don't think I was doing that for lunch for my kids when they were tiny, but I would now. If I had a 2-year-old now, I'd be cutting up hot dogs. Okay. So I don't know. Any other lunch tips?
No. Do you want to do a blast from the past lunch? What did you eat for lunch when you were a kid?
Oh, that's a good idea. So in my childhood lunch bag, I would have had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Me too.
When we did our beverages episode, I remembered those Minute Maid juice boxes, but mine were always orange juice because I didn't like apple juice as much. But now that thought of that is super gross because like warm orange juice is just really weird.
Yeah.
And what else? It would have been a fruit probably, although I don't have much memory for what the fruit would have been. And then
mine was like an apple or an orange or a banana.
Yeah.
Always.
And my lunches were pretty, I remember trying to trade for Cheetos and Doritos. And I remember coveting the junk food that my friends had. It seemed like everyone had it but me. But I know that's not true because I lived in an area where there were lots of like hippy dippy health food eaters too.
Right.
I think it was just like you had all extremes. And so all I noticed were the Cheetos and Doritos.
Right.
And the snack packs.
I never got that stuff
like
either.
The fruit roll ups, you know, like the really bright fruit roll ups. I don't think I got those ever. But I traded for them and I wanted them. Also at my elementary school at lunch, there was popsicle day once a week where for a quarter they sold popsicles on the playground. And that was really fun. If you forgot your quarter, you were so sad.
Yeah. Yo. Mm.
Yeah. Cause we didn't have like the typical cafeteria. So the popsicles were like, that was like a big thing.
We had a very typical cafeteria. And I will say that one thing that comes up again and again is the pizza that we had when,
oh, okay.
and like I never had hot lunch hardly ever, but every now and then my mom would let me get it. And I always tried to have it be on pizza day. And it was like this weird square pizza.
Square?
With these,
yes. Really greasy.
And with holes in the bottom.
Yes. And we did too. And I do remember that. I think that's the only time anyone got hot lunch, to be honest. Like we ate outside because it was California and we didn't have like the typical lunch line thing.
Right.
So they did have hot lunch options, but I just didn't know anybody who got them. But I do remember that pizza. It was exactly the same.
Yes. It's a memorable thing.
When I got to junior high, they had Pizza Hut in our cafeteria. And I when you were talking about your kids, like not wanting them to do a la carte because they'd just get whatever. I mean, I for sure, probably with my own money, because I doubt my mom was sending me money, would get Pizza Hut pizza and like those frozen custard, like frozen chocolate custard in like a cup. Do you remember those? It's like,
Yeah. Like you pulled back a little tab.
Yes. Like a poor man's Wendy's Frosty, but in a cup.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that
was supposedly the ice cream. You're like, this is not
so gross and bad for you, but that was little seventh grade me.
I think I ate a lot of donuts in seventh grade. Anyway.
Yeah, good call. Okay, real quick before we wrap, I wanted to let everybody know that we received two nominations for the Iris Awards.
We did.
Which is really exciting. The Iris Awards take place at the Mom 2.0 Summit, which is coming up in May. And they're a really fun award ceremony, really recognizing all voices in parenting media. So, you know, video bloggers, bloggers, writers, photographers, podcasters. So we are up for Podcast of the Year, along with some great company. And we're also nominated in the Best Sponsored Content category for our episode we did with Whit Honey, and responsibility.org. So that was a really nice thing to find out. And
yes, we've been nominated before, but never twice. So it's exciting.
And we're in great company. So in the show notes, I'll link up all the nominations and you can go see. The only people eligible to vote are people who've been to the Mom 2.0 conference. But
if you have, check your email, though, because I think the ballot gets emailed too. So.
Yeah. And I know, and anybody can nominate. And I did post a couple times. So if those of you took the time to nominate us, we so appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then also, Katie is with me at the end of this show, and she and I have a giveaway. So keep listening, and you will hear that shortly. And we will be back with you guys very soon. This was fun. Hey, guys. It's Sarah. I'm back here with Katie Addis. Hey, Katie.
Hey, Sarah.
So Katie has, as usual, a struggle, a success, and a discovery from her life as a mom of two little kids, ages 1 and 3. And then after that, Katie and I have a fun giveaway for really moms of right in that age range that you guys are going to love. And the giveaway is happening on Instagram. We'll tell you about it in just a little bit. But Katie, let's get to the good stuff first.
Okay. So actually, I've stopped kind of reeling from this struggle experience that I had recently. But this past week, actually, was just when it ended. We had a total terrible trifecta hit our house with Luke first. So he first had a cold and he was teething badly this week. And then lo and behold, out of nowhere, we get hit by a stomach bug.
All of you?
Well, okay. Thankfully, no. It first went to Luke and then to Anna Lee. And I think this is just a good cautionary tale for all the moms out there, including myself, who developed a little swagger saying things like, oh, you know, nope, I've never had to deal with the puke stuff. Never had to deal
never
with.
Say never.
Never say never. Famous last words. And I mean, that I think that's the case with so many things, right? Like, I've never had to deal with picky eating or sleep issues.
Never say that. Yeah, never say either of those things.
Biters, whatever it is. So there I was. And Luke we were in a public place. It came out of nowhere. He was a little extra clingy this particular morning. We had gone into a store and there I was at a clothing rounder. And all of a sudden he just starts letting it out.
Oh, my gosh.
Everywhere.
In the store. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. It was like a scene out of the movie. It was like all eyes on me, all heads turning, whoosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I don't think I've had that. I've had airplanes many times because I have one child who gets sick on airplanes. But I'm trying to think if I've ever had that public.
Yes. And it was pretty violent. I mean, it must have been audible because I'm telling you, every person from every corner of the store.
Can I ask what store you were in?
I was in Children's Orchard.
Okay. I love that store.
A children's resale store.
Yeah, that's like a consignment store near us.
Yeah, yeah.
A plug for Children's Orchard since they had to clean up Luke's puke.
I know. And actually, the normal salespeople who are typically in there were not there. And I kind of said a silent thank you because this new salesperson was so nice. She ran over to me, and so did another mom. I mean, this is kind of one silver lining in this terrible story is that this mom rushed over and said, "Do you need paper towels? You need paper towels." And it was almost like one of those, I think my mouth was just agape for at least a minute where I needed to be told what to do. Yeah. I needed to be told, "You need paper towels."
Did you have both kids with you?
Yes.
Or was she in school? Oh,
yes. And thankfully, Annalie just kind of like followed in tow. So I'm, you know, ushered to the back recesses of this store where I have to walk down a hallway, find the bathroom, mop him up.
Is he crying?
No,
he's... Sometimes little kids cry when they throw up. They don't know what's happening.
No, he was very subdued.
Okay.
So I'm stripping him of all of his clothes. I mean, it had gotten on my clothes, my tennis shoes that I just recently bought. So I throw his clothes away in the trash
can.
I grab, I knew you would be a fan of that. Yeah. I grabbed the trash can liner because I didn't want to leave. I wanted to be a responsible mom, not leaving the puke smell in the bathroom. And took that with me and then bought him a shirt on our way out. And we pieced out of there really quickly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is pretty epic.
Yeah.
Well, I have a couple things to say about puke. First of all, of two things. One, I saw a funny internet meme go around. I want to say Jill from Baby Rabies shared it. But it had something to do with, like, let's all admit that we've been that mom whose kid pukes in the middle of the night. And instead of changing the sheets properly, we just throw a towel over it and climb into bed with the child who's puking. Because I have been that person from the beginning. I will just sit here right here and admit that I do not fully change sheets in the middle of the night. Almost ever.
That's a policy.
Like, I really don't. Because what? Okay, I'm not going to let a child sleep in their own vomit or urine. I promise. But I would rather move their bed, like move them to a different bed, have them come in with me, or put a couple of really absorbent towels on and like a sheet over that and like pass out for 4 or 5 hours till the night is over and then get up and deal with it. And I don't think that makes me a totally disgusting human, but I did. That was the first time I've ever heard someone else mention it. So if you out there have ever thrown a towel over, I mean, like, scoop up the puke, right?
Right.
Like, do that. But I'm not stripping beds and dealing with fitted sheets in the middle of the night.
Deep cleaning and deodorizing.
No. Yeah. No. Or running the laundry. Like, I'm just, I'm not a good middle of the night, like, that type of person.
So understandably.
Anyway, I don't think you're a gross human if you do that. And I did think that was funny. And my other thing was, and we didn't plan this, but I also had puke in the last few days. So we were vacation last week. Ugh. And my husband got what we thought was food poisoning. And I talked to one of my best friends as a nurse. And she's like, just so you know, almost every time you think it's food poisoning, like, it's actually a stomach bug. So just like, I hope no one else gets it. And it really seemed like food poisoning. We'd been out to this very rich dinner. Mm. It hit right like 2 hours after he ate. Like, it just really had all, plus we're eating seafood, we're traveling.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yep.
48 hours later, 2 hours before we had to leave for the airport. So we had to get up at 4 a.m. for our flight. And at 2 a.m., Violet starts puking in the middle of the night in our hotel room.
Oh,
and we're
wow.
about to leave to travel from Hawaii back here. So, but my point of that is I traveled a long day of travel with a puking 5-year-old, and it was really not that bad because once they're old enough to puke into a bowl or a bag and like understand what's happening, it's so much easier. So puke doesn't really ever stop. I still deal with puke. Like, my kids still randomly get stomach bugs. Yeah. My oldest gets sick on planes almost every time. Like, I don't think the puke gets a lot less, but it gets a lot easier because they start to know and be able to predict it.
Yeah.
They can like hug a toilet or a bowl and it's not so upsetting.
Yeah.
So I felt like, I was like, that seems like it should have been harder. Like, I had a kid with the stomach bug and I had to fly on 2 airplanes.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Like, it just wasn't that bad. And
well,
it is because,
you said you've dealt with a lot of puke before on airplanes specifically. So was it motion sickness induced vomit?
Allegra, and the first time, okay, we're getting long here, but this is actually a funny story about toddlers. The very first time it happened, we didn't know that she would get airsick and she was 15 months old.
Okay.
So like not that much different than Luke, and her vocabulary wasn't very good. And my kids still laugh at this story. And so she had single word vocabulary and she's crying and she's fussing and the plane's kind of in descent and we can't figure out what's going on. And she looks at us and she goes, "Poop," and then she pukes everywhere, and we still laugh at that story because like something was happening.
Oh, that's hilarious!
And, like,
what a great precursor,
weird. Right? Like, she was trying to identify like poop,
tummy,
nope.
tummy. Something is happening.
Anyway, yeah,
that's hilarious.
So many puking horror stories.
Yeah, because I mean, stomach vomit is different from motion sickness or stomach flu.
That's true.
So yeah, moms, share your epic stories with us. That would be
one other time. Our whole family got the stomach bug when I was 36 weeks pregnant with my third child.
Oh my goodness!
And
thank God it was your third.
I got it. It was my third, but there's something about trying to throw up when you can't even bend over.
Oh,
and it sent me not into
goodness.
Like preterm labor, but I was having like crazy contractions. So I was so dehydrated. Everyone had it. All of us.
Wow.
Anyway. All right, let's proceed.
Okay, let's move on to something less gross.
Okay.
So I'm moving on to a discovery, and these discoveries have to do with recreational reading.
Nice.
As a mom, which is notable because I feel like since I became a mom, my attention span for books mm-hmm. and my appetite for reading has diminished,
yeah.
I think because I just have less time. So it's like if the book is in any way, shape,
right.
or form,
you have less tolerance
doze-worthy.
For, right.
Yeah, like I'm going to hit the pillow then and ditch the book.
Right.
Well, not these two books.
Nice.
I mean, they are like the most salacious page turner.
Nice.
Maybe salacious is a little strong, but the book titles are The Last Mrs. Parrish.
Okay.
Have you heard of that one?
Nope.
And then the other one is called Behind Closed Doors.
Okay.
And both of them are kind of in the same vein of a perfect couple, it seems.
Okay.
But there's more to them
intrigue.
Than meets the
do
eye.
Do you have either of them in hard copy? Did you library? What did
I libraried. So I read them both in hard copy, which I think is, I don't know. I think I enjoy
real
hard.
Paper books.
Yes. Okay. I think
it has to be a very special circumstance for me to read electronically.
Yeah.
An old school.
No, I'm with you. I think I've recently discovered that the book experience is better when I have a tangible thing in front of me rather than my Kindle. So anyway, I will tell a caveat about The Last Mrs. Parrish. It's divided into four parts, I believe. And part one does kind of read like a sappy, suspenseful, in a way, Lifetime movie.
Okay.
So you're kind of like, okay, I've seen this formula before.
Right.
It's predictable. But then part two through four, I mean, it's going to be hard for you guys to continue mothering because you are going to want to stop.
I have not read a fictional book like that in a long time. And our listeners know I read mostly nonfiction. I read a lot of boring, like, parenting and self-help books. I'm a great resource if you want recommendations there. I'm terrible with fiction. But what I need is somebody to just put a book in my hands.
Okay.
So I was hoping that you could just bring this and put it in my hands. But
yes.
Now I will go to our local library and get them.
Okay. Please do.
So
and then
guys,
the other one I finished in like 2 days because it was so good. Behind Closed Doors was the second one.
Okay, so we'll link those up at themomhour.com. Go to the show notes for episode 151 if you can't remember.
And if you read them, email me at themomhour.com.
Yeah.
Because I want to know what you thought. Seriously, please.
Discussion.
Okay. And then lastly, this feels like a little bit of tooting my own horn, it's a success. It was a physical, personal achievement.
Nice.
And that is, my husband and I did a hike yesterday that was 5.5 miles, elevation 600 feet. So we did the top of the world hike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you done that one before?
I have once. So I've gone there and back.
Yeah, because it's kind of a big deal.
It is.
Yeah.
So
I don't
know. So it's 5.5 total.
We tracked it round trip.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But, you know, you're going up several substantial hills.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I had done it was pre-kids, pre-pregnancy even. So I just look at it as, wow, you know, you really made it. Like, you can run again. You can walk up those hills.
It's such a good feeling to have finished a big hike.
Yeah.
I have the most trouble wanting to do a big hike.
Okay.
But it is such a good...
The motivation isn't there.
Well, I just... It takes a long time. And
I am
sort of an impatient person.
Yeah.
And so I think of all the other things I could do, but it's so sad. I mean, you never regret a really
never
good hike.
Regret it.
Megan's
yeah.
good about hiking too. She loves to hike, and where she lives, you have limited time to do it. So I feel like she's really good about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
well, the whole way you're on a hike, let me ask you a question. So are you thinking about how you're being productive, burning calories, or are you enjoying the scenery, or a
little bit of both?
Okay.
Like, I feel really glad that I do it. It's just the committing to do it. Actually, I did Top of the World with Allegra, and she felt
really.
Mm-hmm, she felt so proud that she did.
Yeah,
that
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It was a random day where I don't know why she didn't have school and the other kids did. I can't figure that out. But anyway, we did it just the two of us. So
yeah. And did I get the email right, Sarah? Hello? Did I say
hello?
Hello
at themomhour.com.
Yeah. Okay.
You guys know. Or you know where to find us.
Yeah, you guys are pros.
Okay, should we talk about our giveaway?
Yes.
Okay, guys. So we have a giveaway of a really, really cute hooded towel. And this is from a company called Lil B. And the giveaway is happening on Instagram. So all you have to do is head to our Instagram, which is at the Mom Hour, and look for the post that is doing this giveaway. But Lil B makes really super sweet, soft, and really uniquely designed blankets and hooded towels. And what we're giving away is 2 hooded towels for you and a friend. So it's one of those fun tag a friend giveaways. But Katie is, she actually brought her, she got to try out the hooded towel, and it's super, super cute.
I did. And in my household, this hooded towel concept is actually kind of a treat, because as a new mom, you think, oh, well, I will only buy hooded towels.
Right.
But then, you know, number 2 comes along and we ditched the hooded towels so soon.
Okay.
Because, you know, a normal towel works. Yeah. However, getting the hooded towel now, I realize, oh my gosh, even as they get older, it's almost nicer because they have more hair.
Yes, and they can walk and run around, which my kids always loved to do. So I almost feel like with the babies, it's different. You're sort of wrapping them in the hooded towel. But my kids all loved, and we only had the ones that we received as gifts. I wouldn't say I went out and bought a bunch, but we totally used them.
Yeah.
I don't know, until they were like 5. Like, the towel is relatively smaller, but they still love to put it on and wrap it around. So
yeah, and this
one's
length,
super cute.
This length is actually really good. It fits both Luke and Annalie, and Annalie is super tall for her age, so it fits both of them and very functional. And then the pattern is so cute. I chose the woodland creature pattern.
It's so cute.
It's perfectly non-gendered, and it has this adorable coordinating trim.
Yeah,
on
a lot of their designs are like black and white with accents of color. Would that be an accurate description? It almost looks like really cool, like pen and ink artsy designs with then little splashes of color. You guys have to check it out. So
really cute.
Head to our Instagram, which we are just at the Mom Hour, and look for the post that is giving away 2 hooded towels from Lil B Shop. They are an awesome mom-owned business. They're owned by 2 sisters. And we love kind of giving shout outs to businesses like that. So again, head to Instagram. So in terms of timing, this episode will release on Tuesday. I think the giveaway will be going, look for it first thing Wednesday through the following Monday. And if you're listening to this far, far in the future, we're talking about like the second week of April. So it will be over, but you can still check out the Lil B Shop. So
totally.
All right. Thanks, Katie. This was super fun. And Katie and I will be back in a month or so with another fun segment.
Sounds good. Thanks, Sarah. Bye, everybody.